Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
All right, let's talk about Bible heroes, okay? We're talking Bible heroes, and I said today we'll be talking about a parable that we find in the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 8 to 10. And in it, a woman loses one of 10 silver coins and keeps searching until she finds the lost coin. And then she calls her friends and neighbors to rejoice with her that she found her lost coin. This is how it actually goes. This is what the Bible says. Luke chapter 15, verses 8 to 10. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So Luke chapter 15 begins with Jesus talking to tax collectors and sinners, you know, his usual crowd, the usual dodgy, shady characters that he liked to rub shoulders with. And of course, the Pharisees and teachers of the law saw that and they were not happy. They saw him associating with these so-called dishonorable people by welcoming them and eating with them. And these religious leaders were obviously looking down on that. They scoffed at his behavior, like, how dare he? I could never, right? Now, the tax collectors, this is the book of Luke 15, verses 1 and 2. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." First thing that jumps out at me on this part, the fact that the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. And who else was there to hear Jesus? The Pharisees. But for a completely different reason. And I wonder, when we go to church, how many of us are there to actually hear the word of God? And how many of us are there as some kind of, you know, invigilators, or as just marking the register, marking everybody's attendance record, marking how many people threw something into the offering basket, or how many, what's everybody wearing today, right? What is our motivation for coming to church every Sabbath? Are we there because we genuinely want to fellowship with our fellow man? Because we want to be spiritually uplifted and edified? We want to be taught and rebuked and corrected and encouraged? Or are we just there for the spectacle? That's a question for you to answer in your heart. Now, Jesus knew they were speaking badly about him, which, again, when it comes to us in church, you need to know that the main person who matters, which is God himself, he knows what's actually going on in your heart. You might fool the rest of us, but God knows what's happening in your heart. And so the pretense is so unnecessary, and it's such a waste of energy, where you could actually be getting the full benefit of being in the presence of God in the house of the Lord on his day, right? So Jesus knows they're talking about him, and he starts speaking in parables as a response to his accusers. Jesus was always on it. He was always on it. He was never caught slacking. And so the parable of the lost coin was one of the parables that he shared at this time. And here are the main messages that we can find from this parable. Number one, obviously, every lost soul is worth fighting for. That's the main lesson, I think, that you get from this. God loves every person so much that he'll work endlessly to bring one lost soul back to him. Even though he has many obedient followers, but he will rejoice upon each one who turns to him. One of the big mistakes that we sometimes make is to think that because I'm surrounded by a gang of sinners, that there must be no one in God's house. There must be no one who's actually righteous, because I'm a filthy sinner and everyone around me is a filthy sinner. So surely the whole world is made up of filthy sinners. Two things. First of all, yes, the whole world is made up of filthy sinners. Our righteousness is like filthy rags. But there are some sinners who have given up their lives to Jesus, who have surrendered to his will. And while they still make mistakes here and there, they are, in fact, mistakes. So there's a difference between one who is trying to do better, someone who is actively pursuing God and allowing him to change their character from within, and the one who just says, oh, well, I guess this is who I am. I'm a sinner, and this is just the way it's going to have to be. Jesus is going to have to accept me as I am. He does. He accepts you as you are, but he does not leave you as you are unless you choose that for yourself. But if you want him to change you into his character, he will do that. But he's going to wait for your consent. So don't ever assume that because you don't see the people who are trying to do better, that they just don't exist. They do. But having said that, with all those people who have actually given themselves up for God, you must know that that's not enough for him. It'll never be enough, even if one soul is lost. That's too much for God. That's one soul too many. So he cares, even about just little old you. He cares, and he wants you back home. He knows what you've been up to. He knows what you've done. He knows your sin. He knows your trials. He knows your temptations. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your downfalls. He knows your secrets. He knows all your dirt. And he still wants you back. All of heaven rejoices for that one sinner who turns to him. That's why he came to earth in the first place. That's what the whole mission was about. He gave his own life so that no one would have to die. Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So just know that even you, if you were the only person left who had not returned home, he would still be turning the house upside down trying to find that lost coin. You are that lost coin. Next lesson, God doesn't stop searching. He doesn't give up. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He went to great lengths to create this world, to plan every detail of our being, to design us, and to try to convince us to follow him for our eternal salvation. He did so much. That says an awful lot about his love for us. It goes beyond any humanly love. I don't even love my own children the way that God loves me. Your mother does not love you the way that God loves you. And I know that she loves you a lot. But God's love for you goes above and beyond any of that. You were on his mind as he gave his own life. That's the kind of love, agape love, unconditional. And when we understand the depth of God's love, if that's even possible, then it's easier to see that he would never give up in searching for that just one lost soul and celebrate that return. Number three, you're as valuable as anybody else. Jesus spoke this parable over 2,000 years ago, but this message still applies to you personally even today. He wasn't just talking to the people who were right there in his vicinity. The same message applies even to you. So looking at your life, if you've ever kind of let yourself drift away from God, or if you've intentionally left him, he's not going to stop trying to get you back. He still wants you back. He's always searching, always hoping, always waiting for you. And his love never fades. He might have billions of loyal followers, and he does. But if you're not with him, he's searching for you. All you have to do is turn back to him. Isn't that beautiful? And finally, the coin was lost in the house. It was inside the house. You don't have to be out in the world, far from home. Someone listening to me right now was lost inside the house. You're still a regular at church. You might even be a member of the choir. You might be an usher or a deacon at your church. You might be employed by the church. But you're lost. And like the coin, you don't even know that you're lost. The coin didn't know it was lost. You don't even know to call out for help. You can't find your way back to where you should be because you think you're safe because you're in the house. Completely and utterly helpless, and you cannot scream for help. But thank God for Jesus, because he will move every piece of furniture. He will turn the whole place upside down for you. He will never give up on you. I'd love to hear what lessons you learned from this parable, and if it has moved you in any way, if there's any lesson that we've just shared here that has spoken to you in a very specific and personal way, I'd love to hear from you on +27734703520.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.